Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 48. On tonight's episode, we discuss rumors of HD remakes coming to the Wii U soon. Plus, some demos are hitting the eShop in the next few weeks that you should be trying. We take time to answer all of your questions. Hey, it's great to be back after being gone for a week. My seat is still warm from Marty sitting here. This is awkward and weird. Hey, Zach, before it gets weirder, cue the music.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. Joining me tonight, fresh off the train or the plane or whatever from Boston, is Justin Madsen. What's going on, Justin?
You know what? It is, Zach, it's so great to be back. I realized how much I truly miss you guys. It was sad to not be here, but at the same time, big kudos to our good friend Marty from Reactor Radio. He did a fantastic job. I was almost concerned I lost my job. I wasn't going to come back. But it's great to be back here. Missed you guys a lot. And it's wicked sweet to be home.
Right on. And speaking of wicked sweet, joining us as well is Jesse Waldeck, co-editor-in-chief of VGTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
Good. I thought you were going to go and automobiles, because since you mentioned planes and trains.
I could have.
But you didn't.
It was the rare moment where I actually said something nice about you.
I was thinking that. That was such a weird thing.
Like, this is really bizarre. I don't understand. Why did you say something nice?
You did say you weren't feeling well. That may be the cut.
I know. I'm feeling a little bit weird. I had a long day, and I had some microwaved chicken nuggets for dinner, and now I'm like, hey, right on. Maybe I just needed weird chicken nuggets. I don't know.
Yeah, we weren't sure if that was going to make him feel better or make him feel worse.
Yeah, I don't know.
In our little pre-show chat.
Yeah.
Weird chicken nuggets.
The value
of the soul.
Exactly.
I don't know. McDonald's got that all-day breakfast going on here. I don't know if they do in Canada, but...
Wait, what? Are we talking like hotcakes?
Or like hotcakes, chicken and burritos, and you know they're going to be fresh when you order them at 5 in the afternoon.
Oh, that sounds rough. Right on.
5 o'clock burritos are either a good day or a bad day. So hard to say.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Right on. Well, hey, let's head into the news, shall we?
Do it.
All right. So the news this week, again, it's this weird sort of like there's so much stuff coming out and there's, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about different games, impressions and so on. But, I don't know. It's first, before we even get into the news, Nintendo has been like, it's just such a weird sort of like lack of Nintendo Directs in general. I feel like we kind of have this like disconnect from the company almost. And so we're just kind of getting like, oh, here's this little interview here and there and whatever. I'm just saying, again, I miss Nintendo Direct and I want them back. So
I have a feeling we're going to see one soon.
I actually, you know, that's not in our notes here, but there is rumors of a Nintendo Direct that are coming soon, potentially like a joint Splatoon Smash Brothers Direct that potentially could be happening. I don't know. So,
well, and we, and, you know, not to ruin some more news, but we hear stuff that the deal with DNA and Nintendo, they say that we can be expecting an announcement very soon.
Yeah, it seems like the calm before the storm almost. Especially, yeah, with a lot of stuff coming out very soon. In fact, there's already been a lot of stuff come out recently. But yeah, anyway, so first up on our list, we have the Zelda HD and other rumored releases. Justin, I saw a little bit of this earlier in the week with, you know, all of these different games released. Give us a skinny.
give us a skinny on this one, son. So we saw some recent news articles that they're finding that Zelda Twilight Princess HD is kind of in the code or is kind of on the servers getting ready to potentially be released on the Wii U for the eShop. So that started a large kind of last 48 hours. That's been a lot of the news cycle talking about it. And whether we're actually going to see that come to fruition now, we don't have any actual information from Nintendo confirming it. We don't have any kind of news releases or press information. But they're finding that the The icon is there, and apparently I believe there's some data code as well. So it sounds like that's going to be happening. So there was that. And then there was news this morning, actually, off of My Nintendo News, which is a great site that we go to, is that some other games, such as potentially Mario Galaxy, Zelda Skyward Sword, and Metroid Other M, could also be coming to the Wii U. Now, if you remember back in early, I think it was February of this year, Nintendo began releasing Wii titles onto the Wii U at a reduced cost. As I recall, it was about $10, I think, for the first week.
Yeah, and then
we saw Punch-Out come out, saw Galaxy 2 come out, we saw... There's something else. Prime, Metroid Prime Trilogy Hunters.
Yeah,
come out.
That discount was only for the first three games, and then when they had...
Yeah.
I don't remember if we had any more Wii games in our region, but in other regions, they did not get the discount when they got more games.
I think we've seen a couple more. Like, I think the Wii... Was it the...
It was the Kirby game,
like Return to Dreamland or something like that. There's been a couple more. Unceremoniously released, right? Like, just, it's
been
here.
relatively quiet about it, for sure. But what they're saying here is that there's information kind of according to Nintendo's database that these games are potentially going to be coming to the service, which I think is interesting. Now, whether they're, first and foremost, I need to mention that these are not necessarily HD versions. Now, the Zelda Twilight Princess one, that's when we heard a lot about it being potentially registered on Nintendo's their actual servers as an HD listing. So the Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD was listed on Nintendo's update server. So that data was actually mined to find that. So there may be an HD version of that. But the other games such as Skyward Sword, Mario Galaxy, and Metroid are not necessarily HDs, but ports of the games coming over, much like we saw with Galaxy 2 and Punch Out as well. So it sounds like potentially Nintendo may be padding up some of their virtual console. I know we have a question about this kind of a little bit later in the show as well. But that's kind of where we stand. So, is it true? Is it not? It's tough to say.
Hmm.
Well, I'd like to throw in that, everything in this list is either Japan or Europe region. There isn't anything in North American region. So, we've, of course, have seen games come out in other regions and not here before. So this is in no way a guarantee they will ever come out here, if they come out at all.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these games I wouldn't mind seeing.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I never played Skyward Sword, actually. That was one of the ones I was kind of always wanting to get on my list, but I just never bought it. But I think that'd be one I'd be definitely interested in.
I would definitely buy that one. And then I can play it on my Wii U without having to worry about knowing where the disc is, as we talked about last week.
Yeah, and I mean, like, looking at this, I think we even got a question on Twitter about this, and maybe it was a little bit later, but just this idea of, like, is Nintendo trying to fill out their, like, holiday catalog by, by releasing these other games and, just, like, this sort of... The thing that I think... There's a list here, we're looking at this list of potential virtual console games, essentially, right? And then... potential Wii U game or Wii games on the Wii U, and then Wii U games. And I feel like this list of virtual console games, which, by the way, I think it's weird that they don't ever classify the Wii games as virtual console, because it kind of is under the same umbrella, but they aren't technically virtual console. But so we've got the virtual console, which is everything up to the SNES, essentially, right? So NES, SNES, and GBA.
N64,
there you go. So we've got those, and those kind of feel like
the GameCube games we were hoping for.
Right, so we kind of look at those, and I'm like, okay, well, I mean, they seem to be slowly releasing these on the Wii U. And then any of these, I'm just like, sure, that seems likely. Any of these huge games on here. And for those of you who haven't seen it, I mean, it's... just a bunch of games, honestly. I don't even think it's worth going through them. But there's a bunch of different ones. And then the Wii games, I feel like, again, that's great, because porting them is fine, right? Like, you port them over to the Wii U, and they got to check to make sure that the ROM works with the emulator on the Wii U, essentially, right? Or that it's working properly. Regardless of what it is. And then when we get... What I kind of have a problem with is when they start doing more HD remakes. Like, this idea of the Twilight Princess HD remake, I really get skeptical of it. And I mean, I'm sure that maybe I would, you know, maybe this is going to end up actually being real. But I just kind of have a hard time thinking that they would have Twilight Princess, especially because it came out on the Wii. They could just release it as a Wii game on the virtual, you know, on the eShop, you know, and port that, you know, just basically dump that ROM onto the eShop and be like, all right, there you go, guys. There you go. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that they would do an HD version of that game, especially with Zelda Wii U so close.
Game Explain did like a 40-minute discussion about that game and what they could do, what they should do, if it would be worth the our time to buy it, etc. And some of the ideas they came up with was, since that game was a GameCube and Wii release, they had two pretty much drastically different control schemes based on the drastically different controllers. You know, and the Wii version is east-west flipped to make Link right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
They should, if they're going to do an HD remake, they should pretty much allow for all of those options to be available. Let us use a Pro Controller in the GameCube style map or the Wii style map. You know, or if people want to do the waggle, still have that as an option too.
Mm-hmm.
But those, it, where if they just released the Wii version, then we're stuck with what we got. But at least here, if they're doing a rebuild, then they have the ability to give us more options with it, which...
But again,
I hope they do. But again, since I just played the game last month, I'm probably not going to get it. At least not right away.
And I know that it's not as simple as saying, well, then if they release Twilight Princess HD, then it's going to delay Zelda Wii U. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think that
I don't think so either.
They would outsource that project, right? They would outsource an upgrade. They wouldn't actually do it in house.
Right, and I bet they were working on this as soon as they released Wind Waker HD anyway. So it's already been 2.5 years working on it. Mm-hmm. If this is actually a thing.
If it's a thing at all, which I'm very skeptical about.
Because the two remakes for 3DS were outsourced.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it? So yeah, so they've done it before.
They've done it before for sure. I don't know. I just don't. I guess what it really comes down to for me is like, oh, guys, don't feel like you just need to keep doing this. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but. I would have rather seen
the Skyward Sword get an HD remake, because that game, I think, didn't look as good as it could have looked for a late era Wii game.
But at the same time, I don't feel like anybody is clamoring for an HD remake of a Zelda game when they'll have another one less than a year after. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, who cares? I don't think anybody really wants it. Unless here's the real big issue. If this ends up being real, is that my guess was that you will not see Zelda Wii U until 2017 if Twilight Princess HD is real, because they're not going to release two Zelda HD Zelda games on the Wii U in less than a year span. They'll want to let those games breathe, and because otherwise that Twilight Princess game is only going to have a 6-month shelf life until the brand new hotness is going to just like push it straight off the shelf. So if Twilight Princess HD is real, we do not see the brand new Zelda game until 2017.
Yeah. I mean, I think to your point though, Zach, that's the telling signs, right? Like when we start seeing these things, it will start to firm up some of the reality where we are actual as it relates to Zelda, if for the Wii U or potentially an NX.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for sure.
Based on what you just said, do we want to talk about the Zelda Informer poll that I emailed you guys the other day?
Go for it.
Sure. Well, that's a good transition.
All right. So, Zelda Informer put out a poll to its readers on the 11th saying, which systems do you think the Zelda U will ultimately be released on? And the options are Wii U, NX, both, or neither. And in parentheses, the game is canceled. And there's the top winner, the top vote getter as of now is both at 49.34%. followed by the Wii U at 41.17%. Mm-hmm. Then you got, which leaves about 6% for NX and 3% saying it's canceled.
Right. Yeah, and that makes, I feel like, to a certain extent, I feel like that's probably, like, that is definitely, I think, probably what people are hoping. I think that people want it to be on both, because then the early adopters will be able to play it on the new system. Right? And I wonder how much of that is wishful thinking and how much of that is just, no, yeah, the new Zelda is going to be, but, you know, it. I wonder, I guess.
I'd wager money this is more wishful thinking than analytical thought, because these are meant for, you know, the poll is for the readers, not for a bunch of journalists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I think we've talked about this before. I mean, as much as we want Zelda now, the reality of the situation is this is a business. They have to do what's right for the business to stay alive, be able to do things. So sometimes, unfortunately, in business, tough decisions are made. So, you know, if, as fans and as early adopters of things, we sometimes don't want to have the reality of saying this is the way it is, but this is the way business is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just the nature of the game. So we can all be upset about it if it happens or doesn't happen. That's great. But you need to be aware that, you know, ultimately in the end, there's stiffs.
Oh, we're losing you, Justin.
Equal or Stockholm.
And we're back. Okay. So, so you were saying, Justin.
You're a jerk. I went to grab a drink. what I was saying is the reality of the situation is that Nintendo is a business and they have to make the best business decision for them and for the stockholders. So it'll be a tough decision to see what they make.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like if Twilight Princess is real, do you think that means, what do you think that means?
I think if Twilight Princess is real in combination with Skyward Sword, that you are not seeing it on the Wii U.
You think it just doesn't show
just
up at all?
Just the BNX. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. I can see... Yeah, I don't know. This whole... what it really comes down to is I don't know if this is a product of the fact that people just really want to play some Zelda and on the Wii U, or if... you know, or if people are just trying to... Like, if Zelda really is that far out there and Nintendo's like, oh, we got to... Give people Zelda. I don't know.
It's been 4 years, so not including the handheld Zeldas. So, you know, people are starting to get the itch.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, people, if you haven't played Wind Waker HD yet, go play Wind Waker HD. It's so good. Do yourself a favor, for sure.
Interestingly enough, Thursday is when they drop the games, so we'll see if maybe this what comes out in the eShop tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Speaking of the eShop, we have word of two demos on the 3DS eShop that is coming out. The first one is coming out on October 22nd. Well, I guess it's the second one. But released to the public is the Yo-Kai Watch demo, which is coming
Yo-Kai
out.
Yo-Kai Watch in the house!
Yeah, which is October 22nd.
I'm scared now.
Are you guys going to play? Are you going to play it, Justin?
Here's the deal. I will try the demo to be able to speak to it here. Mm-hmm. But if I know me and I know the games I like to play, I don't think this will scratch my itch. But I will play it. I will play it, my friends.
Nice.
For you, the listeners.
Right on.
Because that's really
excited. I'm excited for this. Like as a.
This is a rabbit hole for you, Zach. I think this is a dangerous, slippery slope.
I think
knowing
it could
your
be
personality, really... the kind of games you like, your son. You will be in this Yo-Kai Watch up to your eyeballs.
I think so. I remember back in the day, like the feeling that I had from the original Pokemon Red and Blue days. You know, I was like right in that perfect age. I was probably in like grade 7 or whatever, right? Like, or, and I was just like, it was just like, I just bought it hook, line, and sinker. And ever since then, I'm just kind of like, man, I really wish, like, I want to recapture that, and this, I mean, I don't even, setting it up for that particular, you know, scenario, I almost feel like I'm setting myself up for failure, but that is sort of what it's been doing in Japan. It's been compared to that very, you know, that very sort of Pokemon thing, and so I'm really excited and intrigued by the idea. And I'm definitely going to be trying it out. So,
Zach, do you think you're trying to recapture? And I mean, you know, I'm going to be asking a bit of a deep psychology question here.
That's
are you trying to recapture that glory for yourself, or are you trying to capture it for your son?
Honestly, I feel like right now it is more. I don't think that he is going to. He's a little bit young for it. I think. I think it is honestly more for me. Really
interesting,
because I don't think, because Pokemon was such a reading heavy game, and I got into it when I was, you know, like, again, like, you know, like 12, 13 years old. So I was able to do all the reading and whatever in it. And I just don't know if he's going to get as much out of it. I think that it'll be a fun game for him to watch me play, but I don't know if how much he's actually going to get out of it. And I mean, again, maybe it'll be something that I'll be able to kind of help him play a little bit, and he'll be able to mess around with it or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I do think it is more for myself than, although I think it is also the kind of property that I can enjoy with my son, especially since there's like a TV show also going along with it, and maybe he'll watch the TV show and I'll play the game, or, you know what I mean? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool.
What about you, Jesse? Are you interested in this? Are you wanting to play it?
I'm curious, so I am going to try the demo. And I know I got burned out on Pokemon over the years.
Yeah.
You know, I played it, you know, I played Gen 1, you know, and Gen 2 pretty much to completion. You know, and Gen 1 came out, and I was like 23 years old, so I never actually had the experience of playing that as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah, but... And then I skipped Gen 3 just because I never owned a GBA until after the DS came out. But, you know, I played most of 4 and a little bit of 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. I kind of went, you know, missed, skipped out on that one too. So this is kind of like, you know, Pokemon, you know, the next Pokemon in a way.
Right.
So yeah, I'll definitely try the demo.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of wondering if I should have been keeping up with the show now, but it's now on. It's you know, today aired episode 8, so I'm already way pretty behind.
Oh wow, yeah, I haven't.
I think
watched
it's a Monday to Friday show, right?
I think so. Yeah, so it should be cool. I'm looking forward to it. That comes out next, not this Thursday, but next Thursday. So even next week, we won't talk about it yet. It's a couple weeks from now, and then I'm guessing what, like another 2 weeks after that is when it launches. So
it's early November. Yeah,
yeah. So. So that's coming up, and that's basically on the 3DS. That's really the only thing other than Zelda that's coming out, right, this year.
I guess
there's that Pokemon Mystery Dungeon or something, the new Pokemon game. But, yeah.
I do have to kind of say, I do like, and as we're moving, before we move on to the next one, I do like the approach as of late to sending out more demos.
And getting them like a couple of weeks beforehand. I love it when they
do that. Yeah, I really like that. I think we saw Splatoon is the exact same way.
Yeah, and speaking of that sort of Splatoon model, looking at Triforce Heroes, just today they started sending out emails to different, you know, I don't know how they judge this or how they decide who gets them sent out.
My guess is anyone who's had a 3DS registered is through Club Nintendo before that died. Hmm. Since the two of us got the email, but Justin never did because he never had a 3DS. He got the new 3DS, which was not registerable.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, yeah, maybe they're just relying on that. Or maybe it's based on, I wonder too, if it's based on number of purchases in the eShop. It's another potential thing, because I have a ridiculous number of purchases in the eShop on 3DS. And so maybe they just go that way too. Like the people who have spent the most money in the eShop are most likely to use this demo. Maybe that's another way they're doing it. But regardless, I got a code, or I got an email with 3 codes, and Jesse, you did. And Justin, we gave you one of those codes. I downloaded it, and basically what they're doing is like a splat fest, for the online functionality, but they're basically doing stress tests, right? The demo only, it will allow you to do local play, which is not the same as download play. So in other words, everybody, if you're going to play this with friends, you need to all have the demo downloaded onto your system. And then from there, you can do local play, but you can only do 3-player. You can't do 2-player. So that's important to note. And then on top of that...
And there is no single player functionality.
There's no single player unless you want to walk around the little lobby area, which you can do, and talk to about two NPCs.
And you can break four pots.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So then you basically...
I know what I'm doing all week.
Breaking four pots.
Breaking pots.
And then there's...
And you don't even get to keep the rupees.
And then then there are three different online testing times, similar to what they did with Splatoon. Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning as well. So I don't know if there's going to be like friend matchmaking going on there or if it's all just going to be random. My guess is if Splatoon is any model for that, it's going to be random. So we won't necessarily be able to play together, but we'll see. That's going on this weekend, and we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. Any thoughts on that, guys?
I am super excited to get my hands on this game. I have said that before. I think as I'm finishing off A Link Between Worlds, and I knew that there was nothing on the horizon, and then to find out this game was out there and kind of the same design, I'm really excited for it. I do kind of wish, though, that they had the single player that you could actually try. Because although, yes, this is supposed to be a great, you know, online three-player game, I think the concern I have is what does that single-player functionality look like? So I wish they were able to try that, but I understand the testing the servers, which is essentially what they're doing with Splatoon. But I'm excited for this game. I am super pumped. I cannot wait to get my hands on it. This is actually a game that I was actually going to preload onto my 3DS already because it is now available to preload on the eShop as well. So, and I think this is a great game. We talk about playing with families and kids. This could be a great game, especially if you have a house where, you know, you and maybe another kid or both of them have a 3DS to be able to play together, like locally. So this could be a really and there's so much learning opportunity in that. So I cannot wait to try this. If I miss the windows to play online, I'm going to be really upset. I know we talked about that in the pre-show, but I'm going to really, really try to be online. That is what all I have to say.
No, that sounds awesome. Yeah, for sure. I agree. It is definitely – I'm interested to see how that download play works too, right? Like, is that something that can be done? I'm guessing it has to be three-player though, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, because Nintendo has said there will be no two-player mode.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the final game will be one player or three player only. You know, and I said before, I'm looking forward to this game. I'm excited for it too. I'm actually torn about whether I want to try the demo or not because you know, I'm actively avoiding all the spoiler videos that you know Game Explain and other people put out.
I think that they're probably going to do like a. My guess is there's going to be one dungeon, like the first dungeon of the game. That's probably what you'll do. That would be my guess.
That's my guess. It's probably true, but still. So I likely will log into one of the times. I probably won't do all three.
I'll try one of them at least for sure. So, and we'll talk about it next week as well. So, right on. Next up, we have this new Zelda Symphony dates announced. Has anybody here ever actually been to the Zelda Symphony?
No, but I kind of wanted to go.
Is there anything? I haven't even looked at the schedule yet. Come on, Edmonton. No dice.
Unless you include the little thing at the start of E3 2011, where they started their media event with a reduced version of the symphony rising.
Holy
out of
crap!
The
never
pit.
Mind. There's an oh geez, it actually anyway, is so, coming to Edmonton a year from now.
Sorry, what was that?
It is September 21st, 2016, in Edmonton. So we...
Yes. So between then and now, they have never been in my area.
Mm-hmm.
But they will be in the Kansas City area on March 28th, if I remember.
That's so crazy that it's so far
I am
in
definitely
advance.
Buying tickets to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Zach, they were actually in Calgary last year.
I think I did know that. I just never went.
They were in May.
Did you go?
No, my wife and I had talked about it, and it just didn't work for our timing.
Well, hey, man, if you need a place to stay in September on September 21st, 2016, to come.
Well,
to
yeah, because apparently they're not coming to Calgary; they're just coming to Edmonton and Vancouver.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, hey, if you need a place to stay,
yeah,
I know a guy.
actually, Zach. Oh, never mind. Sorry, that's when the dates go on sale. I apologize. I was like, wait, what?
Wait, what?
Unsale dates is November 11th this year.
For next year?
Yep.
You've got to be
kidding me. You have to buy them almost a whole year in advance.
Don't lose the tickets.
Jeez, knowing my luck, I'll have like some weird client appointment like that day. No,
but it does look pretty fantastic.
No. Yeah, no, I would love to go to this. How much? Yeah, I've never been to a concert like this before, but I would love to do that. That'd be super fun. So that's cool.
Then along with this information all came out yesterday, and also what happened yesterday is during the Late Show with Stephen Colbert,
mm-hmm.
the last segment of his show had the symphony playing some songs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's YouTube videos out there with that if you want a taste of what's to come. Sure. And this new version of the tour will include content from Triforce Heroes.
Ah, cool.
In fact, the very first song that they played last night was from Triforce Heroes.
Nice.
Right and they on, also man. Included the plug of the game coming out in a few weeks.
Cool. Very cool. Finally, we have just as last piece of news here, there is reports that Nintendo has moved on from releasing Game Boy games on the 3DS Virtual Console. My impression has actually been that there's nothing being released on the Virtual Console on 3DS lately. And so, I don't know. I don't know if you guys have played a lot of Game Boy games on the 3DS. I feel like in general, they've kind of really dropped the ball as far as actual games being virtual console on the 3DS, as far as games that are released, the fact that there's no GBA on the 3DS, that there's no Super Nintendo on the 3DS. Again, just very bizarre, and I'm looking forward to the day when I have a handheld that I can actually play those types of games on my handheld. But I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Not really.
No. Have you downloaded any, Justin?
So this is Game Boy games on the 3DS. No, I haven't.
No, nothing. Yeah.
I've looked at them, but I'm like, I've got enough other games on my 3DS.
I've got that some games.
Adding a VC one isn't going to help me at all.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I do have to admit I did pick up Shovel Knight for my 3DS.
Yeah, right on, dude.
I finally bent to that.
And how are you liking that 3D effect?
I played a little bit of it, and you're spot on. Like that feels like the right vehicle for it.
It's such a good. Oh, it's. I feel like it is by far the best version compared to. Yeah. And it's the only one I've played, but I don't even care. I love it that much. Anyway, right on. So, I mean, it's kind of sad to me more that it's such a missed opportunity in general. And as I kind of bounce between the Vita and the 3DS, man, so many awesome games that are available on the Vita that you can just kind of pick up and play of any kind. And that Nintendo is just kind of like, whatever. Like, you've got a huge number of PlayStation 1 games that you can download onto your Vita. And yet, I can't even get Super Nintendo games on my 3DS. Like, what's going on? But anyway. Right on, let's head into what we've been playing, shall we? All right. So, Jesse, let's start with you this week. What have you been playing?
All right. So, yesterday, a new game came out on PS4. Where did I leave it in the notes? Yeah, the Dragon Quest Heroes, the World Trees Woe, and the Blight Below.
Oh man,
have a subtitle.
Get somebody from marketing down here and chop that title up. What's going on? Anyway, I don't know if marketing's right with branding. Anyways, continue.
And so I found that kind of interesting because Dragon Quest games always had a little bit of alliteration in their subtitles, and here they almost double alliterate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it's a Dynasty Warriors-like game, similar to Hyrule Warriors, and it's just with Dragon Quest characters, and also similar to Hyrule Warriors, the characters from previous games just by magic, or the exact source is yet to be revealed to me, but will emerge into one area, because, you know, they specifically, two of the characters from, I think it's Dragon Quest IV, show up, and the others are like, I've never heard of that city as you said you're from. So haven't had any of the, you know, protect this area of the map and hold it type of missions that there was a lot of in the Zelda game.
Mm-hmm.
But I expect them to be starting soon.
So brace yourself for them.
Yeah. So, and so far it's a pretty, where like the Zelda one kind of looked like a map, a linear map with a few branching paths. In the Dragon Quest Heroes, you kind of have a little bit of a hub world. You know, it's a small little section where you have all your shops, your save point, things that you need, and then you leave that area, and then you do the next mission, and then when you're done, you just go back to the hub world, and then when you're to restock and re-save, and then you go out the exit and just keep going again. So there's no graphical representation of my status. It's just the story just keeps on going, and I just now got the access to the airship, which required like 3 missions to get the generator from point A to point B to power the thing.
Hmm.
And that's when I stopped it. So I haven't done any missions yet outside of, you know, of now that I have the airship. So that'll be the next thing I do. So I did about an hour, almost 2 hours of live streaming that last night. So I'm having fun with that one. At least a lot more fun than I did with Transformers the week before.
Nice. Right on.
And another game I wanted to talk about quickly is I downloaded the demo for The Legend of Legacy.
Ah, the most mundane title of a video game ever.
And it fits the game and the story. It is very average and nothing stands out. And in fact, I fell asleep twice playing it already.
Wow, put that on the box art. I fell asleep twice playing it.
There's your box quote.
That's awesome.
Yeah, is that going to be our title?
Yeah, I think so. Nice.
Yeah, so I'll probably still dig through that demo a little bit. I doubt I'll buy the game, but I needed something else to do while I waited for my son to get off the TV so I could get access to it, and by the time he did, it was time to get ready for the show, so I haven't had a chance to get back to it. And I do plan on trying to get back to Mario Maker levels. You know, last week I tried and just ended up, I just wasn't in the mood for all the trolling levels.
There's so many trolling levels in that game, man.
I told myself I just need a break from this thing. I need to slip away.
I actually got so tired with Mario Maker levels, honestly, last week I actually pulled out just like New Super Mario Brothers U, and was like, oh, can I just play this some real Mario? That was almost how I felt.
The thing that's going to frustrate me is, you know, I mentioned before that if you play the 100 Mario challenge on the easy level, you can only do that about 19 or 20 times before you run out of amiibo you can unlock. And the game tells you will not unlock any more amiibo at this level.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to start playing the normal to unlock that amiibo set of amiibo. And it seems to be the same 19 or 20 regardless. You know,
yeah, it's still randomized, right? It's not like you're getting special ones because you did normal instead of easy.
Right. So you'll get a random one of the 20, but by the time you do all the 19 to 20, you'll have the same 19 or 20 duns everyone else did.
Yeah.
Anyway, so eventually I'll finish the normal and not be able to do any more, and then the only way to finish it is to do the experts, and mm-hmm. I have not been able to clear that yet.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think the most I've done is maybe 7 out of 16 before I ran out of lives.
My other issue with that 100 Mario challenge is on easy, it's 8 levels, which I feel is perfect, right? It's like, sit down, play 8 levels, I'm done. Whereas, like, when you sit down to do a normal run, it's 16 levels, I think.
Yeah, right? It's 16 for both normal and expert.
Right, which I'm like, okay, why didn't they do 12? Or, you know what I mean? Like, why isn't it like 8 and then 16? Why is there no middle ground? Yeah, I don't know.
By the time you're done with 8 levels, you want to stop anyway.
Yeah, and I'm just...
At least it does give you the ability to save it and then go back to it later.
Yeah, but then you don't get the reward for beating the levels as quickly. And, you know, like, there's that whole sort of game theory aspect of it where it's not rewarding often enough. That's just me.
The mental stuff, sure, but the physical game, not really physical, but the actual game rewards, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But I agree, it's you want that sense of accomplishment, and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, especially with some of those levels. Even on normal, I find I'm skipping a lot of levels. You know what I mean? So, and I actually admittedly haven't gotten around to playing it much lately, just with school ramping up as much as it has, but I'm definitely looking forward to jumping back into that too. So,
I would say to Jesse's point, big kudos to our fans who are continuing to submit levels for us to try. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. We apologize we haven't had a chance to try them all yet. But as Jesse said, we're going to continue to work through that as well. But some amazing levels being submitted by our fans.
Mm-hmm. One of them actually named the level Nintendo Dads.
Nice. Yes.
So yeah. that's actually going to be the next one I try.
I got to sit down and play some of these, man. Yeah.
We are going to start getting ready to put some of these levels or these level codes up on our wiki, or sorry, on our website, so that people can access them as well off the VG Tribune website.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. And last thing I wanted to mention, I forget the name of the game, but I told you about a month ago that I bought this indie game that was going to come out of the NES cart, and I received the game, and I tried putting it in my Retron, and it goes, I don't know what this is. So I think the Retron will only register games that it knows about.
Ah, okay.
So I have nothing to play on this thing on, unless I find more old hardware.
So you actually have to find a real NES.
Yeah, or maybe at least an older Retron that's more mechanical versus being in it, running an Android operating system in emulator mode.
Right.
Which is what Retron 5 is.
Right. Well, that's too bad. That would have been cool.
I'll keep my eyes open for a cheap unit, and I might pick one up one day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of low priority now. So yeah. Already put so much money into that little effort that it kind of bombed on me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it cost me $35 to get that cart.
Sadness. Right on.
Well, when I just bought the cart only, they had an option to have like an actual box and manual for like an additional $15. I'm like, no.
Crazy. Right on. Well, Justin, how about you? What have you been playing, sir?
You know what? I was traveling. I didn't get to play as much as I would have probably normally played. I was traveling with my wife, so there wasn't as much opportunity for that. However, I played some more Happy Home Designer.
Nice.
And I played it more specifically with my daughters, and I am writing a review for the game. I haven't put it up yet, but I do want to kind of provide a little bit of kind of my thoughts on it. So I know, Zach, you did it as well, but I'm going to tell you my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first forte into the world of Animal Crossing, so I have nothing to go against it.
Okay.
I knew of the existence of New Leaf, but I never played New Leaf in relation to the Animal Crossing characters. I had only been really introduced to them in Mario Kart 8, so I knew of their existence. They were kind of cute looking. You know, the words Tom Nook, I assume someone just didn't know how to write Tanooki properly. So I didn't know what was going on.
I never even made that connection, but you know what? That's probably where his name comes from. Holy cow.
KK Slider. Wow. Like these all sounded like stuff that were either, you know, like something I could find on an extra value meal potentially. So I had nothing to go about it. I think it's a cute little game. The premise is simple. You are a home designer working for Tom Nook. very quickly, you kind of realize this, you know, I am a mid to early 30-year-old. This was not designed for me. This game was not built for me. But the person who it was built for lived in my house, and those are my daughters. And getting to play this game with my daughters is what really, really excites me, that I love doing. So what we have now is they really want to play this. So every single day they get to pick up the DS, and they get to go in and they get to interact with one of the people in the town, and select who they want to help out. So we read together, like, oh, so this person wants polka dots, this person wants a space theme. Which one do you choose or select? And they choose and select it. And then the dialogue between Lottie and the customer and you, my daughter works through and she reads it out. So she works on her reading skills.
Nice.
And practices that, which is something that she needs to build that competency on. There are certain times where she has challenges with words. So, like, you know, requirements. Like, that's a big word. It's not part of your usual vocabulary for a 2-year-old. So let's work on that one together. So she'll read out all of that stuff.
A 2-year-old? Is that what you just said?
Sorry, someone in the grade 2, I apologize.
Oh, okay. I was like, man, you got
I got some hard stuff. I'm really restrict here. So, like, those type of things is such a great moment. We can come together and sit together and work through it. And we understand that, you know, to be, you know, and I don't, she doesn't just.
Oh, Justin. Uh-oh. Oh, no, not again. And we're back. Nice. Thanks, Skype.
Yeah, so we get to sit together and we don't just power through A and don't just press the button. We read it together. And then once we read together.
We lose them again.
Come on, man. Okay, we're back again. Come on, Skype. Okay, so you sit down, you're reading with her, and I love that idea of actually using it as a way of, you know, reading. It's interesting. Like, do you think that would fly? This is kind of maybe a separate question, but, like, you know, they have, like, their reading chart every night. Like, yeah, I played Animal Crossing, and I read the words on Animal Crossing. Like, does that count?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't necessarily know if that counts, but it's getting her familiar with her sight words.
Yeah.
Right. And it's building those core, like, these are words that you should know more. So it's incorporating, you know, game into or education into game.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is important. And then from there, once they get to choose their house, you know, we kind of say, well, you know, here's your house, design it however you want. So then from there, they get to just be creative. Right, so here I want them to have a castle, and I want the house to be pink on the outside. I'm going to put trees.
Everyone's okay, good? We're back. Dang it, jeez,
dang
Skype.
It, Skype.
This is going to be like those jarring, like, oh hey, oh yep. All right, go ahead. So being creative.
So then I'm saying, hey, here's the house. Be as creative as you want on the outside. And the nice part was the controls are really easy for them to do that. The touch stylus makes sense. Moving things makes sense. I thought that was great. And then getting them inside the house, all I really had to do is show them, like, hey, make sure that, you know, you open these boxes and you don't throw these things away and build the room to – here's the specs. Now, the challenge is kind of this – you know, and Zach, you alluded to this before, is the nesting of the menus. That becomes a bit complex at times of just trying to figure out what they're looking for. And even I struggle with that every once in a while. But, you know, once you kind of say, like, hey, you're looking for a polka dot room and here's all the polka dot stuff. Have fun. They love it, and they're being creative, and they enjoy it. And it's a really great kind of reward system. It takes about, you know, each of them gets about 20 minutes on the DS. It's some basic skills on how to play video games, how to use a touch stylus, how to read and interact and understand the game mechanics of a game. And then if they need assistance, I can very easily just sit beside them and work through either the control mechanics or reading a screen for them. So it's a really good introduction into it. And the fact that they can just kind of be creative and build and design what they want, I think is fantastic. So I'm actually, from a parenting perspective, really enjoying Happy Home Design.
Very cool. Yeah. And I totally agree. My son will still, you know, he'll still want to play it and you know, just hand it over to him and let him play. He doesn't necessarily, he's not too interested in, like, oh, they want this kind of house. I don't think, like, he doesn't really care. He's just like, whatever, I'm going to put a gold villager statue in every single house because it's awesome. And so he loves that. So, like, again, very, very similar sort of response from me as well. As far as, is this game for us? I don't think so. I think if you want to do Animal Crossing for people who are a little bit older, it's still go to the mainline series, right? But especially for younger audiences, I think it's a great game. So, right on. Anything else, Justin, before I kind of talk about myself?
No, talk about yourself. I'd like to hear more about you.
About me. Awesome. Okay. So, so I basically, last week I went out and I actually picked up Chibi Robo Ziplash. You know, we had kind of joked before the show, I was saying like, oh, okay. Anybody going to actually go get this? And we're like, I actually even said, I don't know. The reviews are not super stellar. And then I was in Walmart and the bundle was there and the Chibi Robo Amiibo was there and I blacked out again. And anyways, anyway, so I have Chibi Robo Ziplash.
You need to start checking your medication before going into Walmart.
I know, right? Jeez. So I started playing through it. First of all, just as far as impressions, the Amiibo is adorable as to be expected. It's got this great sort of metallic finish to it, and it is very much like, you know, it's life size. I feel like if they hadn't made the plugs on the actual Amiibo too thick to insert into a power outlet, you could actually, like, it's exactly that size. So, but they made them specifically like too thick to put into a power outlet for exactly that reason, because idiots like me would actually try it. But other than that, I have played through. I'm still in the first world in the game. It is, I have this, here's the thing. Is the actual gameplay of platforming and using the Ziplash mechanic and the, you know, using the plug as like a weapon and whipping all over the place. That part of the game is great. Like the actual platforming is amazing, but the game seems to get in its own way really frequently. Just as an example. For example, there is a currency, like gold coins currency in the game, and yet it doesn't seem like there is enough to actually spend your money on. So there you can have like two different power-ups. You can have like basically like a continue and also a there's a couple different sort of power-ups that you can use in case you die, like a safety net that you can buy with your coins. And they don't cost very much money and you don't end up using them very often. As well, the thing that gets me more than just about anything else is at the end of a stage, instead of having like, you know, you kind of have the similar sort of like Super Mario World where you have worlds and you have levels within that world, right? So you have like world 1-1, 1-2, etc. Instead of having this linear progression that literally every other platformer ever made has, right? Where it's like you go from 1-1 to 1-2 to 1-3. At the end of every level, there is a spinner. And depending on what is this game's equivalent of how high up on the flagpole you got at the end of the level, you get a certain number of spins on the spinner. And the spinner will have like 1, 2, or 3. On it, and you can spend your coins to buy, like, if you really want to go to the next level, if you're on 1-1 and you want to go to 1-2, you can buy 3 wedges, so literally every space on this spinner is a 1, if you want to do it that way. But the thing is that you do the spinner and you move forward that many levels, and you can't move on to the next world until you've completed all of the levels in that world. So basically, if you're on 1-1 and you spin a 2, you go to level 1-3. And then if you, after doing that one, you get a 1, then you would go to 1-4. And then if for some reason on 4, you spin a 3, you would go, it's like all of these six levels are in a circle. So you would go past 1-4, past 1-5, or sorry, past 1-5, past 1-6, and you would end up on 1-1 again. And it will force you to replay level 1-1 and not let you play the ones that you had skipped over. So you have this weird sort of like going around in circles, like forcing you to play levels you don't want to play. It's the weirdest thing ever. I don't understand it. So I think what eventually is going to happen is I'm just going to every single time just buy out every single wedge on that spinner to just be a one so I can just advance from level to level. It's really bizarre. I don't understand it. Like I said, it gets in its own way. I would love to just play through this game as a linear progression from level to level, but it doesn't let you do that. It's weird. So that's one. Having said that too, like the game is, like I said, it's really fun. I really am enjoying the platforming. The actual gameplay is great. It's just really weird choices. I haven't actually used the amiibo to supercharge Chibi-Robo yet. Although I have tried using other amiibo as well. Like I've registered my amiibo, I just haven't actually used it in a level yet. But I have used other amiibo as well. You can scan other amiibo and it will give you like coins and stuff like that. So that's really all the impressions that I have so far about Chibi-Robo. I really like it, but I just don't understand. Like that core gameplay in the game is great. Just all these like weird things tacked onto it are just bizarre. So anyway, the other thing that I have been playing this week is now I've said in the past before that a lot of people who are probably listening to this show were Super Nintendo kids, and had a Super Nintendo growing up. I had a Sega Genesis, and this week, one of my greatest childhood games was released on the 3DS in 3D, and that's Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And I said this a little bit before the show, I really honestly want Nintendo to look at what Sega has been doing with their 3D Genesis games and really realize what they could be doing with their own Super Nintendo games and things like that on the system. I absolutely am in love with this port of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 onto the 3DS. The 3D effect is great. Jesse, have you used any of any of the Sega games on 3DS? Have you tried any of them?
Never bought one.
It's so interesting. Like the emulation that they have on here too is you actually can go into the settings. I'm on here right now, and they have different screen settings. So they have for 3D style, they have fall in 3D versus pop out 3D. So like the game is all 100% in 3D where they've got the different, you know, the different depths, but you can actually set whether you want the game to, you know, the classic sort of 3DS game where it's basically like a window into the depth of the 3D effect, right? Or you can actually have the game kind of popping out of the screen if you want, which I thought was interesting. They also have screen mode that if you switch it to classic instead of normal, it actually creates a 3D, or it creates like a CRT monitor on the top screen where the 3D effect is actually, instead of the 3D planes of different, you know, the different planes, it actually creates this sort of curved CRT monitor that's a little bit blurry and it looks exactly like it would if you were playing it on a TV, like a CRT TV. It's really neat.
Scan lines.
Yeah, it looks blurry even, like it's the same resolution that it would be if it was on like a Genesis, you know, like exactly the same. So it's really cool. I actually turned it on and was playing it a little bit in that mode. I was like, man, this feels exactly the same as it would have before. But, you know, for those of you who haven't played Sonic the Hedgehog 2, it's just as frustrating in parts as you would expect. You know, like I just finished playing through, what is it, Casino Night Zone or something. It's the one where it's like Vegas and you literally are like playing pinball half the time trying to get out of this weird sort of loop that they throw you into, and it's really fun. And like I have a lot of nostalgia for Sonic the Hedgehog 2 specifically, and so I've really been enjoying it and been playing the crap out of it. But that's the other thing that I have been playing this week. So anything else, guys, that we want to throw in this section before we move on to our question of the week?
No.
Right on. Well, with that, Justin, I will get our music started. And
Perfect. So, guys, this week's question of the week was actually submitted by Eli on Twitter, and he asks, I would love to hear childhood Nintendo memories or stories. What was your first Nintendo system, and what are your favorite games from it?
Jesse, you want to go first this time?
Sure. Yeah, so yeah, my first Nintendo system was the NES. If I guess you could say I had some Game & Watches before that, but I don't remember exactly which ones I had. But so the top games from that is I remember liking the original Zelda and Zelda 2. New Super Mario Brothers, Mario Brothers 3. And then the original Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest, the Dragon Warrior, as it was called in North America. The few years before, and I got a first NES, a neighbor kid showed me how to play Dungeons and Dragons, you know, table, dice. And when I first started playing like Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest, I'm like, that's like the Dungeons and Dragons, except for we don't have to do the math. So I got a kick out of that, and that's what got me into playing RPGs.
Nice. Right on. I think I've said on the show, but the first Nintendo system that I ever had was the original Game Boy. It wasn't until the Nintendo 64 that I had a home console, Nintendo home console in my house. And some of my favorite games early on, Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins was one, Pokemon Red and Blue, Final Fantasy Adventure, which I just found out is being remade on the Vita, which is kind of amazing. I'm looking forward to that, but those were the big ones. Blades of Steel was another one that I would play all the time with my cousin. We both had Game Boys, and we had would link cable and play Blades of Steel, which was like this hockey game on the Game Boy.
Wasn't that link cable awful?
Oh no, I never really had like a huge problem with it, honestly. Like it seemed to work pretty decent. So
worked. It was just very cumbersome and never seemed. It was shorter. I would have expected it to be longer, but it was only like 4 or 6 feet.
Yeah.
So you still had to get cozy with your friends.
Well, yeah, but like we were like little kids who would just like sit next to each other on the couch, right? So we were always like super, super pumped about it. I never really remember having a problem with it. It was just like, oh my gosh, we're playing against each other. This is amazing. But I mean, I'm sure if I were to go back now, it probably would be pretty frustrating. So what about you, Justin?
Yeah, I think I've mentioned before that my first system was the original NES and me saving up for it. And the question about your favorite games, I think, is, you know, especially when thinking about childhood memories and games, and kind of what ties us to sometimes what we play is kind of a bit of a personal story. So I came from a divorced family, and after my folks had separated, we moved 3 provinces away from my dad. And I remember for one Christmas or birthday, like I never ever really saw him. I remember for Christmas or birthday, I asked for Super Mario 2. And sure enough, he actually got it for me, and he mailed it out to my home. And I remember opening it up, and I remember the box just being very well loved. Like it looked like it had been beaten up, and like when it showed up, he had sent like a cardboard, and the cardboard was beaten up, and it looked like it had basically been like, you know, shipped out, returned back, shipped 2 or 3 times, and just beaten up, and even opening it up, like the game box was crushed a bit. Game wasn't damaged, but I just remember like this such a weird like memory of getting this game from my dad, who I had very little communication with, other than a phone call once or twice saying, you know, hey, like, what would you like maybe for your birthday, and sometimes those birthdays and Christmases being disappointing from him. And I remember this thing that was obviously a very big effort that he had to go and find, and just that game was so weird, right? Comparatively, you know, we now know the history of why it was weird compared to Super Mario 1 and 3, but I just remember being very attached to that game for that reason, because it was something that I got from my dad that I never really got under normal circumstances. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it totally does.
In relation to it. So it was a very... So that game holds this really weird kind of special place in my heart for playing. And, you know, I recently repurchased it on the eShop upstairs and, you know, don't really know why I did it, but it was just like, I feel like I needed to have it. Although I know I didn't physically have it, but I felt like I had to have it in my digital collection to be able to lean to at any point. So
nice.
That was probably a lot deeper than like, I like Ninja Turtles and it was fun.
I'm not going to lie. Having started to see clients as a therapist, I'm like, I want to dig into this, but I also like, no, this is not the place for this nonsense.
So it's going to be Justin and Zach's after show about my growing up as a single child in families.
And you know what? That's awesome though. I think it's,
that's such Zach's new podcast.
Yeah. It's such an interesting, it's such an interesting game for that to happen to, right? Like, because it's so sort of like this weird, bizarre game too, right? That I remember loving that game. Again, I didn't have an NES, but I knew people who did. It's not like having black friends; it's different.
I think it also kind of like flips back to that question. Sometimes, like, you know, the deeper question of like, why do you play games?
Yeah,
right. Like, and I think as a child, sometimes I think, you know, coming from a separated family, sometimes like the reason I played games, you know, was to escape, like not from like a bad family or bad thing, but just like escapism from the reality of kind of like what wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And just kind of that, you know, connections of something different. So yeah, I mean, there's a whole psychology behind why we play games as well. But I think as a kid, you don't realize those things at the time.
Yeah. It's a lot of just more, man, this feels good to play this game and escape, you know, that whole escapism side of it is huge. So, and just experiencing something that's really, really cool and exciting. So right on. No, that's great. Cool. Let's, shall we head into listener mail?
Do it.
Amazing. Right on. Cool. So I'll read the first one here. It says, Alan Haas writes, I know you've all seen the eShop/virtual console rumors that have been flying around the last few days. I don't get too excited about these rumors anymore. I've had my heart broken too many times. Innocence lost. That was my commentary. Usually this stuff ends up in the European or Japanese eShop, and I become more and more bitter towards NOA and Reggie. But there has been a ton of games discovered, and I missed them all because I sat out on the whole Wii console. But the enormity of the list has got me wondering if Nintendo is getting ready to launch Nintendo Live or Wii U Plus or some subscription service. What do you guys think? I think that with the number of games that is in there, this is kind of like what I was saying with the Vita, right? Or with PlayStation and Sony, they've got a huge library. Like, why is it not? Why can you not just get any game that you want on, you know, why do they feel like they need to trickle them out like one or two per week when they could just blow the doors open? I guess I do know why is that they can, you know, make a big deal out of this game being released on the virtual console. But I don't think that even the biggest games are that big of a deal if they're released on the virtual console. So I don't know. Maybe the subscription service would be a cool new, you know, a cool way of them dealing with this. I don't know. What do you guys think?
The subscription service, I love the idea of it. Like but I also love the idea of owning something, owning the game in a longer term than just like, hey, as long as I pay my $10 a month or whatever, I have unlimited access to it. It's kind of like the PlayStation now, right? If I pay my $10 a month, I can download any games I want. But the moment I stop paying that, I lose those games. Much like Apple Music currently as well, if you've gotten past your 3-month subscription. But I don't know why, but for me, I feel like I want to continue to have access to those games. And oddly enough, I don't know why I want that. It feels like it's kind of like the Netflix value. But I do believe that if there's any company like across all the video game platforms that should do this, Alan, Nintendo is the one that should, because of not only their backlog library of their own content, but also from the third parties that they've acquired, such as Sega. Like, they have so much to blow out That, I mean, it's, I mean, you know, you pay your $10 and you can basically be done for, you know, you never need to buy another video game again, as long as you're paying that $10. And, I hope that we're going to see some kind of service, Live or Wii U Plus or whatever, or subscription based something in the future from Nintendo. Cause I do think that's, it's an untapped market, but I do also believe that that means that you have to be able to, have it on cross platform. Right. And that's, I mean, for me, I know that's one of the reasons why I there are games I kind of want to buy on my 3DS that I currently also have bought on my Wii U. And I'm like, yeah, but if they do this subscription service, I'll probably have access to both of them. So I don't want to waste money. I know that probably doesn't answer your question, Alan, but I hope that we hear some news about a subscription service in the future.
Yeah. And I think going along with that too, is we still don't know what the Club Nintendo replacement is that going to be part of it? We still haven't heard about the mobile strategy. I just kind of caught myself thinking, you know, what if, you know, just theoretically with this new Apple TV stuff that I don't know if it's out yet or if it's coming, I don't know, I haven't kept up on that, but what if Nintendo were to release like an Apple TV virtual console app that you could then sync with a third party controller? They even release like a Bluetooth controller or something like that. And you can do virtual console on the Apple TV. Like, that'd be crazy. I don't know if they would
that'd
do
be amazing.
It. I don't know if they would. I feel like they probably wouldn't.
I'll be honest, Zach. I don't think they would, because, I mean, if you think about it, they're just now dabbling in smartphones, mm-hmm. right? Apple TV feels like it's three layers down from that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that feels like it's a further stretch for them. They're very cautious, and they don't have any data yet supporting their real, like, real long-term data to support their success in the mobile space. So that feels like it's a bigger jump than it should be.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I definitely think that it would be several years from now, but it would be really cool if they were to do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, it's against Apple policy to have an app read external data to be for the game data, like, you know, an emulator and a ROM. You know, if Nintendo wanted to go there, they'd have to have each app, you know, separately compiled, similar to what they're doing today anyway.
Well, I mean, there are some apps that you can buy. For example, there's like guided meditation apps that you can then in app buy an additional, you know, sound file that you buy it and then it downloads it into the app. And so they could do something like that.
Those are different, but they don't want actual like game logic to be external to the app. Wait, right. And what I was thinking about this is if they do a subscription service, they need to get more stuff out there, and they need to get the stuff out in North America.
Yeah, they would have to put a bunch of them on all at once, right?
With them already saying that they're going to start to step back from the from releasing new things for 3DS, sounds like they're starting to write that off too. Like they've written, you know, like some people are already have written off the Wii U to prepare for the next big thing. So I'm kind of thinking if this happens, it's not going to be until NX comes out. And that's when they can really get their cross-buy capabilities working properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I like the idea. I just don't know if – I just don't think that it's going to be anytime soon, honestly, which is kind of a downer, but I don't know. Well, again, we were told that the Club Nintendo successor is going to be – announced fall 2015, right? Which is anytime between now and December. So very soon, right, we should know about what. And I think that will kind of open up the conversation to what is Nintendo looking at for right now and where can that service be expanded upon with the NX arriving.
Potentially, I have a feeling we're going to have this conversation really close to when the first DNA game gets announced.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to be announced at the same time. Honestly, I think it'd be a good because DNA is also working with Nintendo on that subscriptions or on that Club Nintendo replacement, right? So,
right,
yeah, right on. Cool, Jesse. Do you want to read this next one?
Sure. Chris writes, it's Chris again. The past few days, I've had the distinct honor of playing what could very easily end up as my game of the year, Chibi-Robo Ziplash. I've had a great time with it, and most of all, the amiibo support. I feel this is the way to do amiibo. There's even amiibo support hidden behind amiibo support. My question is, why on earth go digital with this title? Secondly, with the necessary amiibo support this game has, do you feel that packing the amiibo in with the game is a great way to sell physical games? Imagine a Splatoon with the squid amiibo packed in, or Pokemon with the box mascot amiibo, or even Zelda Wii U with a Link amiibo included. What do y'all think?
Well, let me tell you, that's exactly why I bought the physical copy, was because of the amiibo that was included. Yeah, I think it's a good way to push physical games for sure. Having said that, it's not very pro-consumer. As far as I would prefer to have it downloaded on my 3DS. And if the amiibo would have been sold separately, I would have probably... Well, here's the thing, though.
They are now mentioning it's being sold separately.
But would I guess my question is, would I have bought the game at all? Right? Would I have just bought the amiibo? Or would I have... I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I feel like it's definitely the best way to get me to do what I did. If that makes any sense.
Because it's actually Nintendo's best effort, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's
their best interest.
Thank you. I am tired right now. It's in their best interest for people to buy as many digital copies as they can, because they keep more of the development costs. They don't have to share it with the merchants. So, you know, and I think the merchants are starting to know this, and they're trying, you know, starting to see the trends, and they're trying to find ways to say, hey, Nintendo, you know, do something to keep physicals, you know, relevant for a while. And, I've said many times, I'd like to go all digital this generation if I can. And if I was interested in this game, I likely would have still bought it digital and just not had the amiibo, because that's not a big enough push to get me to buy a physical. Mm-hmm. All it does is give me another cartridge to lose.
Yeah. I feel like with this one, for me, I almost wonder if they weren't as confident in this game and they used it to push additional sales. You know, like, oh, that's crap, I don't know if people likely. Are even going to buy this, but they'll buy it if there's an amiibo in there, so let's do that.
Well, in Nintendo, I mean, I think you guys mentioned it during last week's episode, Nintendo openly admitted that Ziplash, this could be its last hurrah if people don't purchase enough of it. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, good way to move it is to tie it to an amiibo, and that kind of helps to generate sales that you may not have initially expected.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, like the whole, again, Chris is saying that it may be his game of the year, which I'm really glad that he's enjoying it. Like, Chris, that's great. I have been enjoying it too, but I just wonder, like, again, this whole it seemed weird that they were saying, oh, this may be the last game if it doesn't sell well, and so on. And from what I've heard, like the reviews were not great. You know, I think IGN gave it a 5 out of 10. Which I thought was a little bit low. Like, let's be real here. 5 out of 10, that's a little rough. But, yeah, I just feel like it's a good game for sure. And I'm looking forward to playing it more. But, again, there's no reason to go digital on this, especially since it was what was it in the eShop for? Was it 35? 30?
I think it was 30.
It was 30, and then it was 40. If you bought it with the amiibo. So you're getting the amiibo for a couple bucks cheaper than you would normally. I don't know. Anyway, it's definitely interesting. There's no reason not to go physical with this one, though. Like, they've made it very clear what the choice is. If you want an amiibo, right? If you don't want an amiibo and you're not interested in that and it's not interesting, then go for the cheaper digital version.
It won't surprise me if GameStop and other stores that buy pre-owned games just is already getting a stockpile of the game. The people who didn't want the game, they just wanted the amiibo.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. Yeah, right on. Justin, we have some Twitter questions as well.
Yeah, we do. I threw some questions out to the community asking what we'd like to talk about. So Brett Babin replied with a couple questions. The first one, would an HD remake of Twilight Princess or Zelda's – or sorry, my apologies, Luigi's Mansion satisfy the Zelda slash Star Fox Holiday voice or void, I guess is what he's probably trying to say. I don't know. What do you guys think? If we get some HD remakes on the eShop, will that kind of help us forget about Zelda and Star Fox being missed in the holidays? Thoughts?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Kind of back, going back to what I said about most people still buy physical copies. And their big holiday game needs to have a title on a shelf.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no one sees it. The whole point of the big holiday game is they want that to be the system seller. Mm-hmm. If their big holiday game is an eShop game, they're only selling to those who already have the systems.
Yeah. His follow-up question is interesting. He says, and is this something that he says Nindy, but I don't think he means Nindy as in Nindy, like the indie, should always have in their back pockets. He says, I think that Wind Waker HD took 6 months. So should Nintendo just have their back catalog kind of on ready to move into HD to satisfy these potential sales gaps?
I don't like the idea. If that's what they're doing, I would rather see new eShop games. You know what I mean? Like, take that amount. If it's a 6 month development window, take that 6 months and do something cool on the eShop with it, or do something new. I feel like would be a better way to do it. Like, even if it's not as big of a game as Media of an Experience, that's fine. But like, don't just start. Nintendo already is notorious for rehashing old content as it is. It's like, just release that stuff on Virtual Console and spend the time developing something that's new and innovative and exciting. And don't just think, oh crap, we have a hole in our calendar. I guess we need to remake, Pokemon Stadium 2 Remastered Edition or whatever. I don't know. I don't think they're doing that, but you know what I mean? Like, I would rather see the new stuff.
Yeah, because there's a lot. If you compare the original Wind Waker to the Wind Waker HD, not a lot has changed. You know, it's only a few tweaks here and there, but I think if they're going to do a Twilight Princess HD thing, they need to put forth more effort than just throw 6 months at it. And the question about do they need to have a game in the back pocket in case there's a hole, there, I would say no, because that's kind of a risky, throw money at a game that if there are no holes may never get released. That doesn't make any sense either.
And it's almost like this, well, you could keep that in your back pocket, or you could just plan better. You know what I mean? And just have more games and do that spacing and releasing
and
better.
And Nintendo has set on half a game for years to be only to be completed later in the before. So that's not unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something that you'd want to plan on doing.
Yeah. It's just not a very good, in my mind.
Pikmin, I think, is a great example of that.
Which one, sorry?
Pikmin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Where they half built a game and it sits on a shelf for 8 years and then they finish it.
Yeah,
on
absolutely.
Two hardware iterations later.
Yeah. What do you think, Justin?
I don't think it satisfies the gap. And I think that should they be prepared to have something to go to HD, I would rather they spend that energy and time on a new project.
Yeah. So it sounds like we're all pretty much in agreement there. Let's get some new stuff in there instead of just.
Although that being said, I love playing Wind Waker HD.
Oh, see.
So I have mixed trepidations about that. Cause
And as I said before, I loved the Wind Waker HD as well. If I didn't play Twilight Princess last month, I'd love the hell out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But just because I already just finished playing it 3 weeks ago, if this comes out in November, I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
I might buy it later, but I'm not getting it at launch.
And again, I don't know if I necessarily – like those big – like a the Zelda games in particular, this is just the way that I play games, but the last thing I want is this big, huge Zelda game released on Virtual Console, or like if it was even a Wii make, like a port, right?
The
port of the Wii game onto the Wii U. I don't even want to play that. Because it's such a long Zelda, like the Zelda games are such a long sort of game that I don't even want to commit myself to that. If I'm going to dedicate myself to a Zelda game, I want to like save up my juice and spend it on the new one, right? When that new one comes out. So,
well, and I think it's just so challenging because I think like we are in a society or where people crave and want things now and now and now. But really, like that time between Zeldas, that time, that long window, just makes you appreciate it so much more. And I mean, you know, does it have to be HD? Like, just go down. I don't know. This sounds bad, but like, just go down to GameStop and buy Skyward Sword. Throw in your Wii. It'll emulate. It'll play still. Yeah. You're fine.
It'll work.
It's very similar to like Metroid and the time between Metroid games, but the difference is we're talking about a 40 to 55 hour game versus a 6 to 8 hour game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, the other thing is that you wait all those years and you get like the new Zelda Wii U versus you get Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Other M.
So
I liked Other M. I just,
there's a little bit
story
of a payoff there, or a little bit of a trade off there. So
Brett had one third and final question. He said, also, what are your expectations going into Yoshi's Woolly World? I'm hoping we get a Yoshi game that we have deserved for some time now. This again kind of speaks about that long wait again between some games that we typically anticipate from Nintendo. So he has some expectations. Guys, I know I have some expectations. What are your expectations as Yoshi's Woolly World is on the horizon? We didn't really mention that. That is on Friday. I know we're getting a copy of it to review, so we're excited for that.
Did you see that email about it, by the way?
Sorry?
Did you see the email about it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So that's good.
Anyway.
I think I saw a tweet earlier today or saying that the Mega Yoshi, at least in the U.S., is going to be a Toys R Us exclusive.
Yeah, I did see that. As well, I don't know. I feel like I actually went to Best Buy the other day. I was just kind of killing time, and sometimes I just go to Best Buy because there's one close. I don't know. Anyways, I was in Best Buy. For whatever reason, I don't even remember how I got there. I blacked out,
and I bought.
And, how many games jumped into your cart this time?
So they actually had the demo at Best Buy, and I played the first level, and man, that's a pretty game. My initial impression was, holy cow, that is a gorgeous game. And it, like, just playing that demo, I was like, I am actually really interested in this game right now. So I am, early reviews that I've seen, I think Game Explain has the review up, the review embargo is lifted. I mean, the game has been out for months, right? But from all accounts, this is one of the best Yoshi games in a very long time. So I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Also a very narrow field for that description.
Yeah, that's true.
My understanding, but the DS and 3DS Yoshi games weren't that great.
But was it Yoshi's Island? Like, is that the one that was really amazing that everybody loved?
The original one on SNES?
Yeah. Basically, my impression is that it's kind of like that without having to babysit Baby Mario. So, the gameplay is pretty similar.
Without the annoying part.
Yeah, exactly. Without that, wah, or whatever, so... Yeah. How about you, Justin?
I am really excited, I think it's back to your point, Zach, to play this game, especially with my daughters. I think this looks like just a great family game. I can't wait to come together. I'm really anticipating the different modes that it has to offer.
Oh, it's got like that mellow mode, right? Like,
yeah. So I think that'll be good for like my youngest, who I think is probably a little bit challenging still on some of the skills. When I think my youngest friend on the mellow mode, my oldest probably on the little bit more difficult mode. It's just gorgeous looking game, like so stoked for that. And then knowing that the amiibo that you can use causes different costumes as well. So I'm excited for it. And I also, this, sorry, this going back to kind of my talking about Animal Crossing. I don't have a lot of history with the Yoshi's series, just Yoshi, other than him just being a character in the Mario series. I don't have anything separate of his different games. So again, I'm coming from this fresh. So I'm really excited for this. Originally I wasn't, but more and more over the last several months, I'm getting really excited. So I'm actually disappointed that Friday I'm traveling, so I can't play it. I don't know if I'm going to have time to play it by next Wednesday.
But, are you going to be able to get out to get the Amiibo on Friday? Like
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Before it'll be my mission before I head to Kelowna that 8 o'clock that morning.
Nice. Just kind of drop by a store or something on the way.
That's exactly my intention, sir.
Right on. Cool. So that is, thanks for all of the interaction from our fans. Seriously, you guys are awesome. We wouldn't be able to do the show without you. So thank you for everything that you do interacting with us, for sure. So, what do you say, guys? Should we, head out, shall we?
Go.
Let's get our music for the outro as we get that coming up. I just want to say, first of all, again, if you guys want to follow us on any of the social medias, you can head over to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. You can email us nintendodads@gmail.com, twitch.tv/nintendodads, or youtube.com/c/nintendodads. We stream on YouTube every Wednesday night, which is where you can find us there on YouTube. And as well, you can call in and leave us a voicemail. Whoa, wait. I wish I had a record scratch. We have a voicemail. I'm stopping this train because we're doing a voicemail. We actually had a voicemail. I'm turning the music off. Can you guys hear me?
Yep. We hear you.
Okay. I'm turning that music off because that it's such a rare occurrence. I wish I had a record scratch. Dang it. All right, we have a voicemail that we need to listen to, and I can't find it now. Good job, Zach. Which is right. Sounds awesome to wait for this Google Voice thing. Okay, should we listen to this voicemail? We're gonna do this.
Do it.
All right, let's play this right now.
Thanks, Jesse, for that greeting. And hello, Nintendo Dads. This is Johnny P. I wanted to answer the question you raised after I sent an email. And the answer is to the 300 titles. I do use folders, so it is not a limitation due to not using folders. The limitation is just a home menu limitation. And I did get the message from the system that I needed to clear space in the home menu, not actually space on the storage. Thanks for doing your show, and appreciate it, and cheers.
Awesome. Right on. That's actually really interesting, by the way. I know that we totally just derailed our exit there, but yeah, there we go, guys. The answer is clear. That's super weird. That even though there would be like empty spaces on the home menu, doesn't matter. You've got 300. So
I did a count of how many icons I have, you know, in and out of folders, and I have 130.
Okay.
Well, I have a ways to go.
Yeah, seriously. 300, man. That's craziness. That is a lot of games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I've got like 20 across and 6 high. Icons, so whatever that is, that would be
120.
Hey, math is hard. Right on. So there you go. There's an answer math to that question. Yeah. So, well, let's head back into what we were talking with our outro here. Thanks again, Jesse, for your or Johnny P. Thank you for your call. People, did you hear what just happened? I just want to draw your attention. Voicemail is a thing, and you can do it. So. 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. And of course, big thanks to OC Remix throughout the beginning and end of the show for our music. Carter Johnson always provides our amazing artwork. Go check her out at megacarter.tumblr.com. And if you want to change the world, people, go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Show your gratitude, show your love, spread the love for Nintendo Dads all over the world and the internet and whatever. We love having all of you guys listen to the show every week. Thank you so much for all of your feedback and your interactions. And we've got episode 50 and our like first anniversary coming up pretty soon here. Like beginning of November, I think is like the 1 year. That's crazy, right? That's insane.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So thanks to everybody.
Yeah.
Amazing. So thanks to everybody for so far. And we're going to do something exciting. I don't know what it'll be for our 1 year. But in the meantime, head over to iTunes, Stitcher, or VGTribune.com. And you can always check us out over there. Until next time, everybody, stay fresh. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dad.